horse wagon, whatever Pepto was saying. But you're having a difficult time with purity. Am I right? Or you want to learn about what is this?
Mm-hmm. Come on, Carrie.
So whatever you're here for, it all boils down to one critical thing. If we all want to be pure. And are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
It's understanding the foundation and the origin and the purpose of purity. So would anyone like know, like, why would you need to stay pure? Like, thinking about it, I feel like a lot of us women specifically are in a blind commitment to purity. It's kind of like when your parents are like, oh, don't do this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I won't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, why am I not doing this again? Mm-hmm. Or it's the complete opposite. Don't do this. Okay, I'm going to do this. Oh, shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of like that. And it's like, why do we need to be pure? Why does God call us to be pure? Why does God want us to abstain from sex until marriage? And some things that we can think is like, why would God tell us to put off something that's so pleasurable? Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like a big deal to me. Everyone's doing it. Things like that. But it's like, wait, hold up. Let me go back to the foundation of purity. Like, what is it? Why? Is it just a thing Christians do? And that's what I thought. I was like, oh, Christians are pure. I don't really know why. They just kind of do it. It's a thing, you know? It says in the Bible, so. So it's finding out to the core, to the foundation. What is this? So I did a little survey for some people, and I asked three questions, and I'm going to read off some of the answers. And you guys are going to see the difference in some of them. So what is the first word that comes to mind when you think of impurity? Some people said dirty, masturbation, pornography, unclean, guilt, and a lot of people said sex. And what is the first word, and second question, what is the first word that comes to mind when I say the word sex? And people said passion, taboo, risky, shame, strong, love, God's gift, dirty, pleasure, scared, lust, consent, love, serious, intimacy, gift, fun, and impurity. What does mainstream media portray sex, or the world? Just for fun, dirty, too focused on it, makes it seem like so important for your happiness, gifts, money, materialistic, the way you show love. And that last question is, how would God want us to view sex? And this is a wife, caring, something worth waiting for, cherished, pure, final boss, marriage, gift, no guilt, not the most important thing. So if you see the answers of these things, it's like what God says and what the world says and then what we say, it's like a pool of all of them. Mm. And that's kind of like, it shouldn't really be like that. So how do we get more on the, I want to view it like God does? Because clearly we have a morphed view of sex in this world. We're bombarded with it every single day. And some things, what God says about sex, Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Something God says about the world's view of sex, Romans 12:2, next one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is a good, acceptable, and perfect. What does God say about the sexual immorality? Ephesians 5:5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, what that is an adulterer, has no inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. Woo! That just like says it right there and just in your face. So the last thing I want to share with you guys is going to what I was saying before about the foundation and the origin of purity. And I had the opportunity to be in a class last semester. It was human sexuality. It's actually the only class that I had to take. It's like I had to take it. And I was so grateful because I was sat in that class and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Human sexuality is beautiful. The way God has created us as women specifically is amazing. And the gift of sex that he gave us is incredible. But the way we morph it is not incredible. A little stats for you guys. STDs, more than 20 diseases can be transmitted sexually. More than 20. And a lot of them aren't even reported. Chlamydia, cases reported in 2015 1,526,658 cases in the U.S. Gonorrhea, 395,216. Syphilis, 23,872. In the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, an average of 40,000 to 80,000 new cases of HIV and AIDS a year. And a lot of them are under 25 and under. So that's us, people that are not, or our age group, people not in a monogamous relationship, just hooking up with whoever. And a lot of you know that HIV turns into AIDS in about that time, attacks your immune system, and you die 3 years later. And they say the cure for that is abstinence and monogamous relationship. Oh, it looks so familiar to that Bible. But guys, the point of me telling you this is God does not want you to be a statistic at all. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, duh. He knew about STDs. He knew about child pregnancies and abortions. He knew that there are people not in a monogamous relationship having children. Those children could be homeless. Those children can die. He knew about how our brains worked and how when we have sex with someone, oxytocin, the hormone, just binds you to that person, and you're just being bonded to like 5, 10, 15, 20 different people, and it rips you apart. He knew, does so many things he knew, and he knows your future husband, he knows how you're going to feel with them and how you're going to bond with them. And whenever I have a lustful thought or I'm tempted to act out my thoughts, I think about this class, and I'm like, okay, I'm a human, I'm a woman. This thought just happened. It's okay. I'm a human sexual being. I'm going to move on. And like 2 Corinthians 10:5 is taking every thought captive and obeying it to Christ. So understand that we are women. We are made up with hormones, stimuli, and sensitive body parts. If you get aroused, it's normal. It's okay. Don't punish yourself for something natural. But the difference is learning how to let God mold your thoughts to where you don't act out on an impulse. So understanding the foundation of purity and how we are created as women, the call to remain pure becomes less of a blind commitment and more to a full-blown, clear-cut commitment to our purity. And that's something that I really am so passionate about and I really want to share with you guys, is that we are created to have something so beautiful and it's morphed, and that we are in a blind commitment, understanding why God created this beautiful gift and committing to it. And that's what I want to share with you guys.
Amen. Right. So thank you, Carrie, so much for sharing that about human sexuality. I think one of the things that we hear very often is that we're in a spiritual battle. And we can see that with what Carrie was sharing, right? That Satan has distorted something that's so beautiful, so special, so precious in the eyes of God, and made it something that's so dirty, so, you know, just not what God had intended it to be, you know? We have to fight against Satan and what the world is telling us, that to be pure is to miss out, and that impurity is going to fill the voids that we're trying to fill, you know? But with the moment of gratification, we leave ourselves with bigger holes, you know, and we're further taken away, our hearts are further taken away from God. You know, so what I want to talk about is our fight and the pursuit of a fight in the spiritual battle of purity. You know, I want to leave you with 3 points. So our theme is committed. This class is called Commit to Purity. So I want you to leave with commit to the fight, commit to the light, and commit to hope, right? So our first point, commit to the fight. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 11 to 17. Can I turn with me there? And so in Ephesians 6, 11 to 17, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, I love reading this scripture. I love, like, this image of just getting suited up and ready for battle, right? Just head to toe. And it fires me up. And I think about this term they use, that we're in a spiritual battle. And it's like, you know, we're like, yeah, we're in a spiritual battle. And, you know, you say it to your friends, and it's like, we're in a spiritual battle. And I say it all the time, right? But oftentimes I can forget or not really think about what does that mean to be in a battle, right? The verb battle is defined as to fight or struggle tenaciously to achieve or resist something, right? So we hear that, and then we forget or not even realize that what that means is that we have to fight, and fight tenaciously. You know, that's persistent and unrelinquishing. A lot of us, and I know that I have been so passive in this battle for purity, and then I can wonder why I haven't seen any victory or growth, you know? If there's anyone out there like me, I love things quick and easy. I don't like waiting for anything. You know, if I don't have to wait, it's my favorite thing in the world. I'm that type of person who will go to the gym and have like a really rigorous workout, and then I'll go to the mirror and check if I have abs yet. Like, did it work? You know, please, you know? And things start to take longer, when things start to, you know, require a little bit more work, I lose my will to persevere, you know? And I can be the same way in pursuing my purity. I remember times of wanting to masturbate and watch pornography, and I would go to my halfway memorized scripture. You know, I'd say a quick prayer, and the desire would still be there. I'd be like, oh, well, didn't work, you know? So I'm just going to give in, you know? And it just, what, you know? Was I really fighting? Why was this happening? I was getting hit by the same things over and over and over again, the same triggers. The same movies, TV shows, music, books that I knew that I had no business watching, I knew were going to set me up for failure. You know, staying in bed too long. You know, being places that I knew I shouldn't be. All triggers. But I wasn't ready to fight persistently, unwaveringly, unceasingly, you know? And I would get frustrated. I would get frustrated with seeing the same outcome. Amen. You know? And one of the things that I wanted the easy way out. I wanted God to just poof me spiritual, you know? Just make it so I don't have to struggle. I don't want to deal with this. You know, I know I'm not the only one who's felt this way. You know, I want to know, do you feel like you're prepared for the long-term battle? You know, would you be able to describe your pursuit of purity as fighting tenaciously? This scripture doesn't paint like a casual encounter with sin. You know, from the scripture, we don't see that it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to struggle. But it really gives you this image of battle, your breastplate, your harness. You know, you're going to be ready to fight against Satan's schemes, right? And so the same way that God is giving you this image that you need to fight, that this is serious, we need to start taking it seriously. You know, we need to start asking ourselves the deep questions, you know, asking ourselves things like, what is my stand against Satan's schemes, right? What are the scriptures that I'm using against the persistent thoughts and the rationalizations that go against what God is saying? You know, do I cling and do I run to the scriptures? You know, or do I casually, oh man, it's just too hard. You know, I don't know. It's just too much, right? What books, TV shows, music genres, you know, what things do you need to cut off? What are your triggers that you're tolerating that cost your purity? You know, you need to make a customized battle plan. You know, what is your purity plan? You know, thinking about the thoughts that come into your head, write them down. What does the scripture say about that? Thinking about the things that you're listening to, what does the scripture say about that? Absolutely, not even a hint. You know, who are the people that I'm going to call at the temptation level? Yeah. You know, not that I've already sinned and maybe I'll give her a call a little bit later, but I am tempted. Who am I going to call? You know, what scriptures do I know? Yeah. Not that casual, like, oh, yeah, I know it says it somewhere that maybe I shouldn't do this, but I know it. You know, we have to be serious. And I wish I could tell you that there was like a quick and easy way to get through this, right? That the victory against lust and pornography and masturbation could be completed in just 4 easy steps, right? It's not simple as that. If we're going to see victory in this area, we need to suit up and get ready for the long haul, right? Second point, commit to the light. When it comes to purity, I know that there is a lot of shame. I have felt a lot of shame. you know, the grieving the Holy Spirit and seeing the truth and not being able to see victory in it, you know, having to constantly go up and get open with that person again. You know, I did it again, right? And thinking, you know, just the idea that, you know, this is just this one too many times, that this person is just going to be fed up with me, that even God's fed up with me, you know, that there's no way, that he has to have a limit. Everyone has their limits. He has to have a limit. This just doesn't make sense. That one more time, and God's just going to be like, you know what, you can't be a disciple anymore. It's not going to work out, you know. So let's look at 1 John 1, 5 through 9. And in the NLT version, it says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. So if we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness, we are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim that we have sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness." You know, being committed to the light is completely and totally a part of being committed to the fight. You know, the challenge of being open can stop us in our tracks, because a lot of us are more consumed in how people think of us and what people feel rather than being pure before God. You know, we have to think about this and we have to stop. The most valuable and most important and most promising opinion is God's, because he's the only one that can save you. You know, he's the only one that can change our hearts. He's the only one that can heal us and keep us moving forward. As a disciple and women aiming to please God, we can't have one foot in the light and one foot in the dark. You know, there's no such area. Yeah. You know, when we claim that we are without sin, when we have unconfessed sin, we live in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to stand and pursue the biblical truth. Mm-hmm. Because what Satan wants to do is he wants you to feel like there's just no way that you can move forward from this point. That staying in the dark is just going to be easier for you, you know? But the truth of the matter that we see from the scripture is that we serve a faithful God. And I want you guys to remember that you serve a faithful God. And it says, if we confess, he will forgive, you know? He will cleanse us of wickedness, right? And to walk in the light is to be consumed by the truth. Oops, sorry. You know, we have to be confident in that promise of God, you know, and who we are as a woman of God. We can't have anything to do with what Satan has to say. You know, we have to constantly combat that. So I want to challenge you guys. I want you guys to be committed to the light. You know, you can't hide. You know, God doesn't want you hiding, but to come out and to be healed, right? So the last one is commit to hope. And I think this one really, really, really resonates with me, because I know I've experienced so much frustration to the point that I do feel hopeless, right? I was sharing before, I never saw or never thought that God could fill the voids and fill the holes, and that we could move, that I could move forward. So let's look at, you know, you don't have to look there, but it just reference it and write it down. It's Romans 7, 14 to 25. And I love reading the scripture because I'm able to see Paul's frustration with his sin, right? He cries out, he's like, he knows the good he should do, but he's not doing the good that he wants to do. He's a slave to his sin. You know, he doesn't understand his own actions. I've been there. I don't understand. Why am I going back to this again? You know, I've read the scriptures. I know how God feels. I feel, what is wrong, you know? And I love seeing and looking at Paul's story, right? Because with Paul, we know that he was a great man of God. And despite dealing and facing his sin, he was used in great ways for God's kingdom, you know? So I want you guys to realize that it doesn't stop here, you know? It doesn't stop with just, I'm just a sinner, you know, and I can't do anything for God. But absolutely you can. You know, Paul was someone who was committed to the light. He was committed to the fight. He was talking about how he was struggling. He had a thorn in his flesh. He was talking about how he needed to get open, right? And we see that he spread the word all around the world, right? Once again, we serve a faithful, faithful God. Let's look in verse 21 to 25. It says, And so it says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord, you know? Jesus Christ will deliver you, you know? You are delivered. Through Jesus, you're rescued from this body that is subject to death, you know? So I want you guys to just remember and hold true to the fact that you have to fight actively, tenaciously, persistently, unceasingly. You know, get open. Have that person in your life that you are confessing to and you are open at the temptation level. You know, it's not someone that, you know, you jump from discipler to discipler. I'm going to confess a little bit over here, confess a little bit over there. Everyone knows a part of the story, but no one knows the whole thing because you want to feel good. We need to get serious, guys.
Yeah.
You know, amen.
Amen.
So Carrie shared a lot about the human sexuality aspect of purity, and Danielle talked about the fight. And what more so I'm going to focus on is mental purity, purity in the mind and with your thoughts. For those that don't know me personally, this is my biggest area of weakness. I would say this is number one, like, on the list of sin in my life that is very difficult for me to work on. I have to continually chip at it and stay with a heart of godly sorrow about it. So the things I'm going to share with you are things that I've been discipled on, and things that I've had to repeatedly go back to in my discipleship. And as I was thinking about my struggle with my mental purity and other women I know, I think it often begins with lust. Just to make things clear, it's not lust to be attracted to someone. It's not lust to have a desire to have sex. How you respond to those examples is the issue. That is where sin can enter our hearts. And when you lust after something or someone, it's not just that you want it, you're also indulging in it, feeding your sinful nature. And what is lust? Lust is craving something sexually that God has forbidden. Lust is to want what you don't have and weren't meant to have. And lust makes your desires more important than God. And lust really does begin in the mind. I think in a lot of ways, our battle with our purity begins in our minds and in our thoughts. And God created us as women to desire intimacy. We are emotionally driven. We crave to be deeply known, to be pursued, to be fought for, to be understood, to be seen by someone. Not just to be physically beautiful or attractive to someone, but for someone to know us deeply and accept us and not run away. And what we can do is we can find ourselves, in order to try to attain that intimacy, we can go to just this false fantasy world in our minds. It may begin as something harmless, like thoughts of liking someone or someone being your boyfriend or your husband, but then your thoughts quickly turn left. Or maybe it's not all about intimacy for you, and maybe you truly just desire to have physical sex and you think about it often. Well, in both cases, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 holds true. It says that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And I understand that sometimes you have thoughts that just come out of nowhere. You wasn't even trying to think like that. It just comes out of nowhere, those fleeting thoughts. You have no control over that. But you do have control over how long they stay there. If you choose to dwell or if you choose to dismiss them and move on. You know, there's a choice with the thoughts that come to our minds. And we can also just make the decision to deny ourselves and to stop those thoughts in its tracks. We can allow God to fill our thirsty hearts and get true intimacy from Him. We can submit our emotional and physical desires to God and be fulfilled. One of my favorite scriptures about God, Sari actually shared it. It's Isaiah 54, verse 5. It says, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. He is called the God of all earth." God is your husband, your counterpart and companion. You can go to Him and not feel empty and hollow, but be filled and feel content. And I also love Psalm 119, 57 to 58. It says, "You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your purpose, to your promise, rather." This scripture is saying that, God, you are enough for me. You are my portion, meaning, Lord, you are what I want and what I choose, and I promise to be committed to you. I promise to commit to you and keep my vows to you. I'm going to obey your words. And this is beautiful. This is what we truly desire, but often it's not our reality. There is so much danger in fantasizing, indulging in sexual thoughts. This was an analogy that was shared with me called the sticky tape analogy. So I'm going to explain it to you. So it talks about how each woman is given one piece of sticky tape in her lifetime. And when you have sex with someone, masturbate, or have impure thoughts, you place your sticky tape to that experience and rip it off and go off on to the next. So each time you have a sexual experience or sexual fantasies, you place an attachment to that memory. And then down the line, when you get married and you're trying to have intimacy with your husband, you can't. You're trying to stick to your husband, but the adhesive is gone. There's no more stickiness because you've attached yourself to all these different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. You may end up unsatisfied in your marriage because you've created some false perception of what pleasure and what sex is supposed to be like. And if it doesn't meet those expectations or what you've conditioned your body to feel or what your mind to think, what happens? It leads to way more pain and destruction than you ever thought. And that's always Satan's plan. And fantasizing and impure thoughts really blocks intimacy in real life. It affects your reality. And that's something we need to fight against. And I know a lot of you probably thought, yeah, I would never want my marriage to be like that, where I can't stick to my husband or I can't just completely be focused on him, and you want to protect that. But right now you're in a marriage with God, and that's most important. God is your Maker and is your husband. That's the intimacy you want to protect. That's who you want to be able to stick to. And each of us must fix our thoughts on presenting ourselves to God as holy, pure, sanctified, and without blemish. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, you can write down. I'll read it in the ESV version. It says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" So we're called to be holy. Why? Because God is. Because that is your calling as a woman of God. That's who you have been created to be. And trust me, I get it. This is hard. It's easier said than done. So it'll be holy. Like, that's extremely hard. And for me, this is my daily struggle, my thoughts. From when I wake up in the morning to when I'm trying to fall asleep, I'm struggling with lustful thoughts and fantasizing. And I can try to justify myself, too. I can think, oh, I'm not touching myself. It's not that bad. It's just a thought. Or I thought about it just for a few minutes. I don't need to confess that. Or, well, this is me. I'm never going to be able to stop thinking like this. So this is just a part of how it's going to be in my relationship with God. And when we start justifying ourselves, we stop caring as much, and we stop confessing our sin, and we don't own it anymore. And listen to this scripture. It's Romans 1, verses 24 to 25. It says, "Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." What this says is that God lets people be given over to their sinful desire. If you want it that bad, God will let you fall on your face if that's what you really want. And it says that you exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And that is, like, crazy to me. It's so scary because none of us want to commit to a lie. It's a lie when you think that you'll be satisfied by your thoughts. It's a lie that to think that your thoughts are harmless and they're nothing. It's a lie to think that you cannot have self-control. No, don't give into the lies that Satan tries to sell you. It's serious and it threatens your relationship with God. And, you know, Ephesians 4, it goes on and says in verses 17 to 19, Paul continues to talk about this with purity. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." The people Paul describes here, he says that their thinking is futile. The word futile means incapable of producing any useful result. It says that their thinking was darkened. Their hearts were so hard that the word of God no longer penetrated their conscience.
Come on, Shauna.
They lost their sensitivity and their concern for their sin and became unfazed and apathetic. But does this describe you today? Mm-hmm. Do you take your sexual thoughts seriously and realize that it is sin? Not that it's sinful, but it is sin. I have to remind myself of this all the time, that in, like, because I can, like, just, I don't know why in my head I'm like, oh, I'm not masturbating or I'm not doing this. It's not that bad. I have to remember impurity is in Galatians 5. It says that I will not go to heaven if this is what my life looks like.
Yeah,
you know, and I just have to, like, slap myself in the face with the Bible sometimes. So I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's just some things in my head sometimes. But it's like, no, this is really serious.
Keep it real.
You know, is your heart hard about your battle with your impurity? I know a lot of us can feel really defeated and feel like this is so hard and can feel beat up all the time about it. But don't allow that to let your heart get hard. You know, do the scriptures still cut your heart? Are you sensitive to your sin? I think that's the central question there. Like, do you care? Are you sensitive to it? Do you realize when you're doing it? Or is it just going on and on and on? And then you confess at the end of the week, oh, I struggle with my thoughts throughout the week. But daily, do you see how you need to be sensitive to your sin? Insensitivity to your sin is a dangerous place to be in. And I really want to call us back to the standard of the Bible today.
Come on,
and you can make the decision to repent in your thinking about your sexual thoughts. You can make a decision to see how damaging your sexual thoughts are to your relationship with God and have godly sorrow. And listen to this. This is talking about every disciple in this room. Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 24. It says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It says that you were taught the truth when you became a disciple of Jesus. The truth about what it really means to be a pure and holy woman of God. The old you died in the waters of baptism. You were made completely new. You are not defined by your impurity or your past mistakes. God doesn't even see them anymore. And God wants to help you. Jesus wants to compel you. The Spirit wants to convict you. But this is on you. It's your decision. You can't do this for me. Mm-hmm. You can't do this for your DP. You can't do this for the women that are keeping you accountable. It has to be you that chooses to fight for your own purity and to be sensitive to your sin. I don't wish I could do it for you. Mm-hmm. I was about to say I wish I could do it for you. I don't really, because I got my own battle to be worried about. But it's your decision. It's you that has to do it. And you have to be the one caring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other people can't care more about your purity than you. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, and how we're going to be able to see godly sorrow, change, and transformation in this area is with something that you guys might not want to hear, but it's really vulnerability and confession. Mm-hmm. I know we don't like the word vulnerability and exposure, and it's hard. But what's really going to help you is if you have gut-wrenching, super uncomfortable, embarrassingly raw, honest confession and vulnerability. Proverbs 28, verse 13 is a scripture we often share when we study the Bible with people. It says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. There is no benefit in hiding your sin. The scripture basically says that you will not prosper. You will not make it as a disciple in the long run if you hide your sin. It's just not going to work. And the Bible calls us to renounce our sin, meaning you're willingly volunteering to give it up. No one's dragging it out of you. You volunteer to give it up.
Right.
And another scripture from David in Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And if I translate that for you, what that means, it says that God does not listen to you when you don't confess your sin.
Wow.
Like, he does not listen to your prayers when you have cherished sin in your heart. And nobody wants to experience that. I want God to hear me and all that stuff. But that's the cost when we don't talk about what's going on. It's like God doesn't hear you because you don't want to be open.
Yeah.
And you are not the only disciple in the world that struggles with explicit fantasies or thoughts about having sex. And there's so much power in vulnerability and just being honest. When you get your sin into the light, God can help you. God can help mold you and change you. However, when we stuff it, ignore it, don't talk about it, we're dishonest, we don't tell the whole story, just certain parts of it, God can't do anything with that.
Right.
He needs complete truth and honesty. And a lot of us have loosened our commitment to our mental purity. Mm-hmm. I don't think it really gets talked about that often. We've gotten comfortable and complacent. And I want to challenge every woman in this room to get radical, starting today. Confess daily. Confess throughout the week with the sisters in your life. And confess in detail. This will help you stay sensitive to your sin. You know, it's good to confess throughout the week, daily as it happens, because if you wait all the way to the end of the week and you meet with someone and you say, hey, you know, I struggled with my thoughts this week, that's very different from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I struggled all day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a big difference in that.
Yeah.
And for me, this is something that I've been trying to implement in my life to help me. For me, my battle is in my bed in the morning and before I go to sleep. There's something about me in my bed. It's cozy. It's warm. My bladder is full. It's just a huge place of temptation for me. My inhibitions are low. I feel like I'm just not in my right mind to a certain degree. I don't get up on the first alarm. And I don't know why. I don't know if anyone, it's kind of weird to say this. I don't know if anyone else experiences this. But sometimes when, like, my bladder is, like, pushing down, it's not sex, but it can kind of feel like it to a certain degree. I don't know if anyone's ever felt that. Okay. It does feel like that. And it's, like, very addictive because I'm like, I don't want to pee. I like this. But it's like, no, yeah. Shauna, this is sin. Like, no, you really need to get up and just use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I know that if I don't get up on the first alarm when I'm supposed to and I stay in my bed scrolling on Facebook, half awake, half asleep, going in and out, I usually end up sinning. That's my pattern. The women in my life know this about me. So you can imagine how embarrassing it is for me to confess sometimes weekly or multiple times a week, I didn't get up again. I ended up having this fantasy and it happened for such and such time. It's so embarrassing. It's like, Shauna, like, you keep confessing this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for my heart, I have to confess in detail. I'll explain. I stayed in bed for an extra hour. I started thinking about so-and-so. And then I imagined what my wedding night would be like with him. And then I thought about what it would look like, what it would feel like for him to touch my body, have sex with me, and explain the whole bladder thing, too. And then I just have to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just say I had an impure thought or fantasy. She doesn't know what that means to me. And I don't really have time to explain this, but there's so much meaning behind what you think. Like, it's the whole wedding night thing. I rarely ever think about, like, having sex as a disciple, like, now as a single woman. It's always in the future. That's a desire for intimacy there, not physical sex. So it's something deeper in my heart that I'm not going to God about. So maybe that's something you guys to think about. What are you thinking about? Is it the same person? Is it the same kind of scenery? There's oftentimes a lot behind it. And for you guys, I think that it's good for you to confess in detail so that you can get the help You need it for you to see your sin clearly. And you've got to choose to be serious about this. Just yesterday, I was like letting myself go on and on all day, just having this fantasy throughout the day. And then I just like had to, I didn't even say anything. It started from the morning, and then I think I finally said something like at 4 o'clock. And I just had to be honest, like I didn't say anything from the very beginning. It's not like I've been, this has just happened within the last hour. Like this is from when I woke up till now. I never said anything about it. Now I feel stupid about teaching this class tomorrow because I'm a mess. And I had to be honest. And what you do is you confess it. You see the sin and have godly sorrow and you move on. You don't need to dwell and stay in this place of, oh, I hate myself. I'm so bad. You move on. It says in 1 John 1, the scripture she shared, when you confess your sin, Jesus purifies you. You can move on. You don't need to dwell.
Amen.
And I have some practicals for you to help you be radical about your purity. I think with your purity, a lot of what Danielle talked about is a battle plan. And you're not just going to happen to be pure. It's going to take a lot of intention and work on your end. You know, I think fasting is a great thing to do. Fast for your heart to change if you're feeling apathetic about your purity. Pray for an hour on your knees every day about it. It's something that has to be on our hearts and for us to cry out to God for help. Something that I have is I have like purity flashcards. For me, if I have a thought, I can't get to the Bible and try to think of a scripture. I have to have it written down or it's just a wrap. It's just, I just can't get to the Bible for some reason. Mm-hmm. So I need it written down so I can just flip through them and not have an excuse. Oh, I couldn't get to, no, it's right there on the table. Just read it.
Where do you keep the flashcards?
They're on my coffee table. I have my quiet time right there, but I used to have them in my bed, right next to my bedstand, so. From when I'm supposed to be getting up. So you can put them where you feel like you need them best. You can keep them in your purse if you feel like you need to flip through them throughout the day and find scriptures that help you and convict you about your purity. And also, I think you need to see yourself and what you're doing and what's not helping you and just cut it off. A lot of what Danielle talked about. What external things do you just need to cut out? Matthew 5, Jesus says to cut off anything that makes you stumble. You know, so that's TV shows and movies that Jesus would have no business watching. You know, music that reeks of impurity, profanity, and vulgarity, you just need to cut it out completely. Don't compare what you hear people doing or see people allowing in their lives. Jesus is the standard, not another person. This person is listening to all of this crazy music with all this trash in it, and just like, oh, she's spiritual. Well, in that area of life, that's something she needs to consider. I know people debate about that, but I don't think listening to a song about having sex is holy at all. And that's what the standard is. And also unblocked men from your past on your phone and social media. There's absolutely no excuse or viable reason to still be in contact with someone that used to have sex with, used to touch you, used to be in a relationship with. That's just an area of temptation. You're minding your business and you see it, his name or whatever on Facebook, and then you have all these thoughts and memories. Just get rid of it. You ain't going to talk to him anyway. So hopefully not. So that's just a recipe for disaster. Just cut it off. I know there's emotional ties to that, but you just have to do what you got to do to be pure.
Yeah.
You know, for me recently, I can't even listen to the radio right now, or I love 90s R&B, and all that is just love songs, and I'm like, oh, I want to listen to this, and I can't, because I can't handle it. It's just, lately, I just can't listen to it at all, so I've had to cut that off for some time. And for you, if it's music that just makes you start, oh, I want a boyfriend, and all this stuff, you just need to cut it off until you can get yourself together, you know, or maybe you just need to cut it off altogether, I don't know. Or even books on romance that fill your mind with nonsense. You know, I think that just cutting it off might help in those areas. And I think getting real with yourself, praying about all these things so that you can keep your commitment to God. You don't want to play games. You get radical and you extinguish anything that's threatening your relationship with God.
Right.
And when you want something, you go after it. Some books that I wanted to suggest to you guys that have helped me a lot. One that I read while studying the Bible is What Are You Waiting For? By Dana Gresh. It's a really, really great book that focuses more so just like our bodies and how God created us as sexual beings, and it's just, it's a really, really good book. I would say that's number one on purity books for me. Another one is Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is. That's by Joshua Harris. That's all about lust. That's a good book. And also, Tempt Away by Guy Hammond. It talks about temptation in general, but I've read it from a purity standpoint, and if you do it, what he says, it works. It's just doing it. So it's a great book to read as well. So in conclusion, I just wanted to encourage you guys that your purity is worth fighting for. God is worth it. He can fulfill your needs and give you the intimacy that you do desire. And what your heart really does crave for is God. So talk to someone about what you've learned about today and make decisions before you leave this weekend. Like, what are the steps that you need to take in your purity? What things do you need to cut out? What plan do you need to make so that you can grow spiritually in this area? We all love you and care about you so much, and we really thank you for letting you just listening to us and also letting us share our lives with you. So thank you. That's all we got. Woo! 2 minutes to spare.